Hello and hi, welcome to another Slice of Sci-Fi. I'm Summer Brooks, and my guest today is director Matthew Lutwiler, whose latest release is Uncanny, coming out on DVD on November 3rd. We have a little bit of psychological thriller, a little bit of technology, a lot of mystery going on there. So welcome to the show, Matthew.
Thanks. Thank you.
Give us a little background on Uncanny.
How can I sum it up? I mean, it has to do with the creation of the world's first perfect AI, and its creator, who's been kind of sequestered for about 10 years, building this being, brings in a technology reporter for a week to kind of interview him and his creation. And while they're there, the three of them in this one space, the creator and this reporter start having, a bit of a connection. And then we start seeing the AI start to develop some, human-like behavior, like jealousy, rage, anger. and then that movie kind of goes through the dark place that it does. But, it was an interesting concept that Shaheen, the writer, had pitched to me over dinner one night. I was looking for a very simple kind of one location, three actors movie, and I also was interested in the AI world, and he pitched it to me, and 4 weeks later, he handed me the script, and not much changed, actually. We shot the movie maybe 2 months after that, and it was a 12-day shoot, so the turnaround on this thing was just, it was so fast, but it was exciting.
Yeah, that is a fast turnaround. So this was a pitch out of the blue?
Yeah, I was looking for, like I said, I was looking for something specific, and Sim Sarna, who he had gone to USC with years ago. Sim and I had worked on a couple of projects in the past, and so Sim hooked us up, and he pitched me 10 ideas. All of them were, the first nine were all about $100 million or more, and I said, no, I'm looking for something intimate and small that deals with big ideas, artificial intelligence, something I'm really interested in, and he pitched me Uncanny, and I said, oh, shit, that's perfect. That's exactly what I'm looking for. And then Shaheen's a surgeon by trade, so he just worked on it at night, and we would talk late at night, and just cranked this thing out. Very fast writer, very smart guy, crazy smart. And then we cast the movie and shot it. So, yeah, it was kind of crazy to work with it. It was his first time writing a script, too.
Wow.
It was interesting process, but boy, he's got a career ahead of him.
Well, him being a surgeon, that kind of explains what I thought was the intriguing attention to detail to the actual body of the AI.
Yeah, he's very specific, but that's what makes it great sci-fi. This is almost not science fiction, this is almost science truth. Maybe it's 10 years from now, but everything's really based in science fact, which I always appreciate. I mean, science fantasy is great. I love Star Wars and all that stuff, too. But this is very different than that. This is something that's... And frankly, we're using science fiction to deal with human issues. Those are the bigger issues that we deal with in this movie. What does it mean to be human? It's an intimate film that deals with very big ideas.
Is that part of the reason why you were looking for something specifically AI-related for a story to tell?
Yeah, I mean, I've always been interested in the world. I love technology. I have my own concerns about where we're headed technologically. I mean, I would say I'm not... Well, maybe I am. I'm more in line with, an Elon Musk's view on where we might be headed with this stuff than say Kurzweil's views, and he has a very positive kind of feeling about what we're going to be able to do with all this. And I think there are positive aspects of it. I think it's also a pretty dangerous technology if left unchecked.
Definitely some interesting application possibilities on both ends of the spectrum.
Yeah, absolutely.
As with everything. So the actual story, how long did it take him to write this? Because like I said, it's very, very compact storytelling. It's kind of fast paced, but also slow building. And not, I don't want to get too spoilery, but for a while there, I thought both Adam and David were artificial. That's how well those performances were.
Those performances are fantastic, right? I mean, everyone, you know, a lot of people have seen Mark Webber before. He was a person I cast without even having auditions. I just really liked him. I'd seen him in the film at Sundance that same year that I liked him in. So I met with him and we brought him on board. The other roles were cast, other than Wayne Love, where he was cast because we worked with him on a movie called Super and just reached out to him. But the other two main roles were done through the casting process. Michael Teston, casting agent, brought people in, and we saw a lot of people. I was actually out of the country for most of the casting. I was actually in Rwanda, and they would post the videos in very low res because my connection was so bad. And I would watch them and give my thoughts. And then when I got back, Shaheen and Sim and I brought back in the people we liked the most. And then at the very last minute, David Rogers walked in. We still hadn't found that role with David, and he just blew us away. I didn't give him any notes. I just kept asking him to do another scene, and then another scene, and another scene. He wasn't prepared for any, he prepared for two scenes, I think. But we just kept wanting to see what he would do with these scenes, and he obliged us. And when he left, I think he knew he had the role because I was just kind of in awe. We all were. And then once he left the room, we all looked at each other and thought, okay, well, we don't need to cast that role anymore. It's done. So, yeah, he was special and just so prepared on set and easy to work with. And, but man, I think he just nails the part. And it's very complicated. That's a very complicated, difficult part.
Yeah, I was very, very impressed with David's performance. I had seen him in a web series a couple years ago that Bryan Singer and John Cabrera produced, H+, the digital series. Oh. And seeing him in this just added another level. I was like, wow, that's...
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, not to go into spoiler territory, I really thought the twist that was coming was that both David and Adam were going to be artificial. And the twist...
Yeah, there's other people that thought that. I mean, that's what's great about the film. There's lots of clues in there if you really want to go back and look at it. But watching the film a second time is some people like it even more the second time because it's just interesting. It's a different viewing experience, you know.
Going back and looking for some of the clues, I'm like, okay, so I misinterpreted this clue here. I missed this clue here. That was very nicely done. But
Shaheen, you know, that's the nuance of Shaheen, you know, which is really special.
Yeah, I enjoy films that are smart with multiple layers built to them that don't sort of spoon feed you everything to lead you along. So that was a very welcome treat. Thank you.
Yeah, good. I'm glad you like that. Yeah, that's what attracted me to it too. And it was fun to kind of, you know, direct those bits too, because you push them one way or the other, you know. So we always pulled back on them a bit, made them more subtle.
Tell me about the set design, because the way the labs were set up was, I have a background in technology, computing, and everything. So seeing the way some of those workspaces were set up was very interesting to me.
Yeah, I mean, it was not so much by design. That location was not the ideal location. It certainly wasn't what I had in mind or Shaheen had in mind when we were working on the script. But, you know, this was a zero-budget film, like I said, shot in 12 days. And so that location was owned by an old friend of mine from nursery school who I had run into downtown L.A. one night a couple months before I started shooting. And he had this great, great, cool loft space downtown L.A. And visually, it is beautiful. It's just not, you know, you don't think technology when you think of that. You think the antithesis of technology. So Ross Richardson and I, DP, decided instead of trying to fake it, and make that space something that is not Lucy, and really embrace what it is, and then just add pieces of technology. And then that, for instance, the big touch screen, which we actually didn't even come up with until the night before we started shooting. Shaheen and I went out and bought a giant piece of plexiglass and some parts from Fry's, and then we parted out an old Mac from my garage and kind of glued it all together because we felt like we needed some big set piece that we saw early in the picture that went, oh, okay, yeah, they've got some technology there. You know? The building is so advanced. If we were just sitting around and, you know, with no kind of visual references to high tech, I think we would have been in a real bad place. So we built that thing, and then Shaheen, we put it in a U-Haul. It was pretty delicate. Shaheen drove it downtown the next morning, and he went around a turn, and the whole thing collapsed and broke into about 40 or 50 pieces. So while we started shooting the first two scenes, Shaheen was literally sitting there with glue and wire and putting the whole thing back together.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, the set was not exactly what we had hoped for, but I think that the way we shot it and the production design that they put together on it, it gives more of a mood that I think it's almost like a noir feel, which does work tonally for the movie, but it doesn't embrace the technology as much as I'd hoped it would.
Okay. Last thing, the ending, was that just meant to be a what happens next let you wonder, or was there a sequel planned?
No. We always wanted people to think about, you know, there's an epilogue kind of that comes up after the credits start to roll, which is always fun to watch people stick around for, you know, we travel around the festival circuit, and you know, people get up out of their seats, and some people are waiting for the Q&A, so they start chatting amongst themselves, and then all of a sudden they see that bit come up. That was the original ending, but we were worried. We did a little test with it, and some people really were disturbed by it, and some people hated it, some people thought it was fantastic. So we cut it out and had the movie just end in Rainn Wilson's office. But then last minute, Shaheen and I were like, fuck it, let's put it back in there. The credits scroll, because we just liked it was a little freaky ending. I mean, it's more gimmicky than the rest of the film. The film's really not a gimmick film, and that moment kind of is. So we just thought, well, we'll throw in the credits, and it does give people a bit of a jolt, and it makes you think, like, what does that mean, you know?
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure how I feel about it. I've been thinking about it ever since I saw it. So you got me to think about the movie for a few days after I'd seen it. So that's a good job.
Yeah, it does. It does get people talking, no doubt.
And so it's one of those things where I would like to sit down with a couple of other people who have seen it and just hash it out. Just see what we can pick apart.
Let me know. I don't want to give away anything to the people who haven't seen it. But I have my feelings about what that means. And actually, it was going to be a much bigger theme in the film that we didn't add in the script. I had some ideas for that we realized made it the movies, which is already complicated, even more complex. And we're like, oh, screw, we can't get into that world, you know.
Okay.
Artificial sperm and things like that. What is that? Injecting with the DNA and all that stuff. Anyway, I'll just leave it at that.
So we'll just leave people with that little teaser. And thank you for your time today. The movie is Uncanny. It'll be on DVD and various digital platforms on November 3rd, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You can kind of get it everywhere, I think.
So again, thank you for your time today. And thank you for a quiet, smart little film.
Oh, thank you.
And we'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi right after this.
Slice of Sci-Fi.
You
You're home from the comic book store with your favorite titles. Wouldn't they read better while listening to Krypton Radio?
So this is Gary from Jacksonville, and I just heard the latest one of the latest episodes for me on the interview with Simon Barry from Continuum. And this show has captured my imagination from the first episode, and I was so sorry to see it go, but I felt they wrapped it up well, and I enjoyed that it wasn't a clean ending. Time travel stories should be messy and slightly ugly, and still can be beautiful at the same time, and they managed. So thank you very much for the interview. I really enjoyed it a lot, and take care. Bye.
Thank you, Gary, for that message from a wonderful voice from the past. Don't be a stranger. You have the number now. I don't know if you've speed dialed it yet, but in case you haven't, hopefully the future episodes and interviews and discussions will encourage you to add the new number to your speed dial. And yes, this should be a fun close. I feel like Roadkill resurrected and then hit again by a bigger truck. Yeah. I have no idea. I've been feeling like this all week. I was able to resurrect some semblance of a decent sounding voice for that interview with the director, Matthew Lutweiler. Thank him for his patience and his indulgence in my lack of a real radio voice. So I have a ton of questions about the ending, the main ending and the follow-up ending about that movie. There's something really, really, I'm not gonna say unsettling, just something off about the way that ended, and I have not been able to put my finger on it yet because I haven't been able to focus or think straight all week because I feel like crapola. So I will hopefully figure it out and include it in the review I'm doing for Uncanny. Like I said in the interview, the movie comes out this coming Tuesday, November 3rd. You can watch it digitally. You can watch it DVD-illy. It's actually quite a smart little film. It's very well done for a truly one set piece. The storytelling is paced well. Like I said, everything leads to that ending. It wasn't the ending I was expecting, which is a good thing, but there was something still very off about it compared to the rest of the film. And it's been bugging me ever since I saw it. And I would have loved to have talked to the director about it, but it just wasn't enough time. I prefer longer interviews. The 10-minute, 12-minute interviews don't give me enough time to really dig in and ask the questions you know I like to ask. So we'll see. We'll see what I can come up with for the review for you guys next week. Assuming I can stay upright. And I actually need to stay upright because I have voiceover narrations to finish. And I can't do this sounding like a frog choking on a dragonfly. But yeah, that will conclude things for this episode of Slice of Sci-Fi. Short and sweet again, like a lot of people seem to prefer. If you have questions or comments, go ahead, call them in. That number is 602-635-6976. Or you could record something short and sweet yourself and email it to me directly, summer@sliceofscifi.com. Or if it's longer, then it's safe to send an email. Just record it yourself and send me a Dropbox or you send it link and we'll play from there. Leave a review for us on iTunes. It helps. It really does. Lets people know people are listening and that other people should check out the show too. Check us out on Twitter, the @SliceOfSciFi, @SliceOfSciFiTV and SliceOfSciFiUK will become active again, I hope. There's also, it's Comic Book Day. There's also Right After Dark, which is for the Writers After Dark website and soon-to-be show that will be coming along. There's Facebook, there's Google+, and of course, the websites, sliceofscifi.com, writersafterdark.com, and kickassmysticninjas.com. Your donations are welcome. Thank you to everyone who has jumped on the Patreon train. That is over at patreon.com/sliceofscifi. Go over there, check it out. If you can support what we do here, thank you, thank you, thank you. Like I said, when we get to that, one of those early levels, I will endeavor to work out the last bugs in that live show, and we'll have some fun with that. And yes, there will be... I'm giving myself a deadline. I'm planning to have a new episode of Ninjas out there by the end of the year. So, feel free to remind me and hold my feet to the fire on that one. Oh, goodness gracious. Yeah. This will do it for this episode, but we will be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi next week. Take care.